Blog Talk Radio.
What difference if I hail from north or south, or from the east or west? My heart is filled with love for all of these. I only know I swell with pride and deep within my breast I thrill to see, O glory faint, the breeze.
Cardinal Mazarin, he was the successor to Cardinal Richelieu, those who remember the Three Musketeers and the evil cardinal. Well, the Catholic Church had some funny things going on in those days. Usually, this is how the pecking order went. The oldest son inherited all the lands and the property of the nobility. The second son went into the military, and the third son went into the priesthood, and usually they got a quickie indoctrination, if any, at training in being a priest, and they were usually crowned a bishop, and in this case, a cardinal, which is the number two rank in the Roman Catholic Church. And in France, Cardinal Richelieu and Cardinal Mazarin were, in fact, the prime ministers and ran the country and even had their own little private army and a police force, and it was really a great conflict of interest. But we hear more about Richelieu because of the Three Musketeers, by the famous stories by Alexandre Dumas. And then, of course, Mazarin succeeded him. He wasn't as powerful as Richelieu. So that's his birthday today. Also, other interesting birthday on the 14th was James Abbott McNeil Whistler. He's famous, the famous painter who did Whistler's Mother. And that's been used for advertising and everything else. Also, women wouldn't have to use the scrub boards after this invention. Fritz Maytag invented the washing machine in 1857. It's almost 200 years ago, over 200 years ago. And then a famous woman suffragette worked for women's rights in England, Emily Pankhurst. She was quite a woman's rights advocate. She was born in 1858. And then one of the most famous Russian Jewish writers, 1904, Isaac Bashevis Singer was born. And then we had Gerald Ford was born on the 14th, and, of course, his wife just died. His original name was Leslie King, and, of course, can you imagine if he was vice president and he was known as Vice President King or President King? He was adopted, and his adopted family was named Ford, and that's the name he used. And then Polly Bergen, if you remember her, The Winds of War, where she played the wife of James Robert Mitchum, excuse me. He played the Admiral Pug, and she played his philandering wife. Of course, Pug had an affair, too, with Victoria Tennant, I think. And then also the most famous, Princess Victoria, she's the heiress to the throne of Sweden. Now, this is a very strange relationship. Sweden had the male, a primogeniture, the first male inherited the throne. But something screwed up with Gustav, the seventh. Gustav was kind of weird. His first child was a female. And ironically, a second child was a male. But in the panic, they decided to change the law. And so Victoria, she supersedes her brother, who is her younger brother, who would have inherited the Swedish throne, when Gustav died or abdicated. And then among the interesting deaths today, which is still, we can trace our troubles in the Middle East back to this, the King Faisal of Iraq was assassinated in 1958. Also, the Prime Minister, Nouri el-Said, and then the Ba'athist Party took over Saddam Hussein and all these other wackos. And we had nothing but trouble there ever since. And we can thank the British and the French because of their manipulation in that region for oil. And this is the legacy that we've had from World War I. Lawrence of Arabia had his way, there wouldn't have been the Europeans meddling in the Middle East there. If you want to get an insight into this, the excellent movie, Lawrence of Arabia, gets into this toward the middle of the film and the end of the film. Among the interesting events on the 14th, July 14th, besides Bastille Day, in 1714, the new Russian Navy, built by Peter the Great, the father of Russian Navy, defeated the Swedish Navy, which was larger and more powerful, but they were outmaneuvered and outgunned and outfought by the Russians, who built one of the biggest navies in the world, and they still are very powerful. And we will get into the Vareg, the Russian ship that was built in the Philadelphia Naval Yards, just before the Russo-Japanese War, in which a sailor decided he didn't want to stay in the Russian Navy, and he came over from Russia, was sent over, a 17, 18-year-old boy, and he decided he wanted to become a United States citizen, and so he filed a habeas corpus in the U.S. District Court, and went all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court, and the U.S. Supreme Court said, in effect, that military personnel have jurisdiction, primary jurisdiction, over their personnel. That's an issue that we are still trying to get out today in the 16-year cover-up of the U.S. Navy sailor Stephen Neary, who was abused, raped, and manipulated here in San Francisco, and it's cost the American taxpayer over $16 million. Okay, and let's see what else I have to say. Oh, yeah, I'm going to love this one. Well, two of them. 1798, the new United States government issued a tax on states' lands and slaves. That's the first federal tax that it's not talked about, and it's not well known. Tax on opium was removed, and get this, in 1832. Also, we may have this problem again today, and this was under the Adams administration. They had the Sedition Act, which prohibited false, scandalous, and malicious writings against the U.S. government. I think some people want to revive that one. Contrary to popular misconception, Wernher von Braun did not invent the rockets. It was an American, I think, in Massachusetts, Dr. Goddard, in 1914. He got the first patent for liquid fuel rockets. And he went on to do quite a bit of research. And, of course, don't forget the Germans were looking. And in 1953, George Washington Carver, he was dead by then, the founder of Tuskegee Institute, and a man who found more uses for peanuts than you could ever conceive, the first national monument and memorial was erected in his honor and to respect, to memorialize all the work that he did with peanuts, everything from eating to solvents, quite a guy. And then this is a murder case that has a connection to my family. 1966, Richard Speck in Chicago raped and killed 8 nurses at Cook County Hospital in the dorm there, and one escaped and happened to be the distant cousin of my dad. And then 1976, we brought up Jimmy Carter again. He won the nomination for the presidential candidacy for the Democratic Party. And then we had 1986, 10 years later, Richard Miller, who happened to be supposedly a devout Roman Catholic, he became the first FBI agent convicted of espionage. That we didn't have the death penalty then, so he escaped that. If he had been Russian, he would have got a bullet in the back of his brain. Excuse me. And since we're honoring Charles de Gaulle and the French, we're going to play a rare tape of de Gaulle, who spoke in English. A lot of people didn't know he spoke English. And let me get it here. Uh-oh, there we go. No. I'm still trying to get this bloody system. And he's thanking the United States for the work that they did, that we did, our soldiers did, in saving France and Russia. Let me see where it is. We're having quite a bit of a little problem with this new system, as I said. Excuse me. So, no general. And he also, we have an interview, a comment from George Christopher on Charles de Gaulle, who came to San Francisco. And let's see, where the heck is this? This is one of the problems with this new system. I haven't been able to quite get it together. And here we go. Charles de Gaulle thanks America for saving Europe and Asia. Here we go.
I want to thank again the American people for the magnificent effort which, under the leadership of your two great presidents, Roosevelt and Truman, has made possible the victory. Without you, Americans, there would have been no future for Europe and Asia, but a terrible servitude. There would have been neither freedom nor justice for the world. Long live the United States of America.
Yeah, you wouldn't believe that. You wouldn't. There we go. Still working out the system. You wouldn't suspect that. And here to celebrate France's, this is the rare recording that we had in our archives of the Marseillaise as it's supposed to be played. And where the heck is it? La Marseillaise. And you don't hear, this was in the way it was originally composed. And doggone it, we're still having a slight problem here. Where is, I thought I had it here. excuse me. So this is the new system here. It's kind of confusing, but it's, oh, here we go. Salute to France. Here we go. The original, as conducted by the late Pierre Monteux, who became a U.S. citizen during the war in 1941, I think.
The course avant-traité to play the officiel version, not any arrangement. Thank you.
Here we go. I don't think we want an encore, but that's how it should be played, and you never hear it played that way. And now I'm going to find George Christopher and when he hosted General Charles de Gaulle. We don't have diplomats coming to San Francisco anymore and these official visits. We certainly didn't have Prince William and the Duchess of Cambridge. Nobody wants to be associated with a city where we have pedophile politicians and all kinds of corruption and perversion. It's unfortunate. But George Christopher was probably our last great, honest, ethical, and competent mayor. And we used to get a lot of foreign dignitaries, ambassadors, and historical figures like General Charles de Gaulle. And here is what George Christopher had to say in an interview I did with him shortly before George Christopher's death.
Diplomatic mission, I think, involved de Gaulle or Conrad Adenauer. De Gaulle, Charles de Gaulle.
Oh, yeah, I received him, too. How do you know all these things?
I did some checking.
Well, you had to treat him differently. You have to be versatile in treating each person one way or another. Now, with Khrushchev, I took some liberties at the outset to be with some jesting. On the way back, I had stopped over in Paris and I invited de Gaulle to come to San Francisco, and I told him I'd give him the biggest reception he ever had. Well, he took that as a matter of speaking. But one day I got a telephone call that he's coming. It was from Eisenhower, in Eisenhower's office. So Eisenhower and I got along very nicely. He respected me, and I respected him. Anyway, and I told the staff, I said, now look, when he comes, he'll be landing on Treasure Island, and I want him to arrive at exactly 20 minutes to 12. Well, why 20 minutes to 12? Why not 11:30, or why not 12 o'clock? Well, I had my plans. My plans were I appointed every building manager on Montgomery Street in the immediate area, and I sent them all a letter. I said, save your ticker tape, tell your, and put a big sign in the lobby of your building, save your ticker tape, General de Gaulle will be arriving at 12 o'clock, and let's give him the biggest reception he ever had.
Bigger than New York, huh?
And I said also, then I called the French school. They gave the kids half a day off to come down with the French flags and all that. And instead of coming in at 20 minutes to 12, they came in at about 11:30, about 10, 15 minutes early. Well, that kind of threw me off base because I didn't want to go down there at 11:45. Up California Street and up Post Street. My purpose was to have all these girls and fellows who work in the office to be out in the street. That was my conniving purpose, you see. So, as a result, I called in a couple of admirals to make a little speech. They weren't on the program, but I said, God, they say something. I extended my remarks from 3 minutes to about 6 minutes. I got one of his people to speak, and at 5 minutes to 12, we were completed with all our ceremonies. I said, okay, now we can go. So we drove. I told the driver, just arrive at 12 o'clock at the end of the bridge, the one that swerves off. We went up California Street, up Montgomery Street, up Post Street. There were 250,000 people out there. And later, he was so pleased. He was so pleased. He stood up in the car and waved at all the people. First time, his aide said, with a I've been with the general for 30 years. The first time I've seen him smile. So sometimes you have to alter your methods. But he was I got the medal he gave me, the Legion of Honor, just on account of that. I didn't earn it, but he gave me the Legion of Honor.
You gave him the best parade he had in his life.
Yeah. So anyway, I talked too much.
Oh, no. Well, one last big question. Diplomatic mission, I think, involved De Gaulle.
Yeah, that was taken from the long interviews I did with the late mayor, the late great beloved mayor, George Christopher. And it's also up on our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AmiCusveritas YouTube. He's up there, and he visited our military museum, one of the few museums in the country, United States, that has a lot of, it's small, but has a lot of rare memorabilia, including the famed French 77 howitzer cannon that was used in World War One. It's interesting. The French were famous for their artillery. Napoleon was a student of artillery. That was what he graduated from the French Military Academy. As a military engineer, artilleryman. And the Germans, artillery was always light, but it was fast. It fired fast, and they're very accurate. The French are very accurate with their artillery. Now the Germans used these huge guns, Big Bertha, and these Mortars, and they opted for size, width, and impact. Whereas the French opted for speed and shooting tighter accuracy than the Germans. The Germans just want to wipe out a whole block. I guess it's that Teutonic way of doing things. We do have, today is also the birthday, or was, he's dead, of Woody Guthrie. And we do have a clip from his most famous, I found this in the archives at the last minute, his most famous song, and I'm looking for it right now. We're going to have to do something about this. excuse me. And so we want to play it, if I can find it. Where is it? Where is Woody? No, that's not it. I'm looking for it. No, what happened to Woody? Oh, here we go. Woody's birthday song. Where is Woody? Here we go.
This land is your land, and this land is my land, from the California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. This land was made for you and me. As I went a-walking that ribbon of highway, I saw above me that endless skyway, saw below me that golden valley. This land was made for you and me. I roamed and rambled, and I followed my footsteps to the sparkling sands of her diamond deserts. All around me a voice was sounding, this land was made for you and me. When the sun comes shining, then I was strolling, and the wheat fields waving, and the dust clouds rolling. The voice was chanting as the fog was lifting, this land was made for you and me. This land is your land, and this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, from Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. This land was made for you and me. When the sun comes shining, then I was strolling, and the wheat fields waving, the dust clouds rolling, the voice coming chanting, fog was lifting. This land was made for you and me.
Yep, that was Woody Guthrie. His son is still living. He has a rare disease, Arlo Guthrie, and remember Alice's Restaurant. And so Monday, we hope things will be still get the system worked out. We will be, I hope to have Patrick Butler, and we'll be talking about the best politics in the country. And also some surprising information, historical information, found out on healthcare. It was a real shocker. And when this information came out, but it was never really, the historians had never really looked into it. I'll give you a hint, though, that Otto von Bismarck, the first prime minister of the First Reich, or I guess that's what you call it, he started unemployment insurance and did quite a few other things, even though he was reactionary, but he knew how to manipulate things in order to make Prussia the dominant power in the German heartland, their homeland is the word they like to use, or the fatherland. I think it's more appropriate. Anyway, we'll end with our favorite theme, which underscores a lot of things that go on in this world and also our program. We'll be focusing on some of the things that you wanted to know, didn't know where to look or who to ask or how to ask. We'll be going back through our archives and going through over 2,000 recordings in the what I used at Western Public Radio and KALW, and then our own family historical archives, Carson Vizola Archives. So we'll end today, this Friday, with Politics and Poker.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bet.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year. Big ace.
Ace bet.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's it bound? We should make Jack Riley the guy.
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of jacks, bat out.
Politics and poker, shuffle up the cards and find the joker. Need a game for children, need a game is rough. Decisions, decisions, like
who to pick,
how to play, how to bet,
where to call a bluff.
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Yeah, they'll be asking that question this summer, or later in the summer, when they have their conventions, or next year, rather, excuse me. So it's Peter Paul Brizola, and thank you for listening. And this will be up on the archives, and go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site. We're updating things. So good night.